Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along. It is episode 31 of the Milk Bar. Jason and Zoe with you. Hello, Zoe.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm a lot better.
Because, yes, you were unwell again.
I've been bad again, yeah.
You're constantly unwell.
Yeah, you see, Wednesday I put my heart and soul into that podcast, so Thursday I was absolutely shattered.
Yeah, Thursday we went live and you were in bed ill.
Yes.
And in fact, due to the fact you went off to fetch the drinks, you know that commercial where the green thumbprints are all over things, where people spread disease?
Oh, yes. I gave it to you.
I must have drunk some of your snot last week, but there we go. Not a pretty thought.
I do have a really bad story on that line, but I'll just leave
we won't show that now. Will
no.
We? But there we are. What's coming up on the podcast this week from you?
Me?
Yes, other than your sparkling weird personality and the interesting scarf you have on.
Yeah. Yes, I've got Rhys Page.
Who's Rhys Page?
He is... Oh, I've left me notes in my bag, Jason. He's a theatre group that's coming to Wolverhampton on the 29th of January.
They're playing the Arena Theatre, and they've got a little bit of a play, what they wrote. They're all from the Wolverhampton area, and it's a little piece about two friends making babies.
Yes.
That's on its way a little bit later on. We'll also be talking to Jason Forrest.
Oh, funnily enough.
Yeah.
Is that not you, Jason?
It's a different Jason Forrest.
Would you believe it?
He is a fashion designer, and... I've read his CV, and he's done some stuff in the Midlands, and now he's down south.
Oh, right, so he lives down south, then.
He
he's
is
not
down
bump
south.
Into each
no.
other, then.
No, that would be strange, wouldn't it?
Especially if he looked like you. Have you got a picture of him?
He's black, for starters, and I'm white, so he isn't going to look like me.
He might do.
Well, apart from just a different skin tone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think so. we have music on the way, and the band this week are Black Can. We're talking to Ash from them in a short while's time. But first of all, we have a young lady artist on the telephone, and we say good evening to Bridget Robertson. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good. Now, you've got a bit of an exhibition taking place at Wolverhampton Art Gallery on Lichfield Street in the city centre, and it's called Morocco Medina Montage.
That's right.
Explain a bit more for me, please.
Right, well, we opened on Saturday, and the title is all about what the paintings show. They're all based on things I've seen in Morocco. Medina means the old part of the city. When you go to Marrakesh or Fez, the Medina area is the oldest part of the town. And montage is the way most of the paintings have been done, which is putting together several little views in one picture. So that makes them quite unusual.
Now, what sort of materials are you working in, then, to produce these montage pictures?
The large paintings are all oil on canvas.
And is that not a difficult medium to use these days? Because there's a lot of paints which are much simpler, surely.
Yes, I've always worked in that way. You have to be a little bit slow because you have to let it dry. So I think, in a way, it helps you kind of think more as you're working.
And build your patience up as well.
Yes, that's right.
Does that in a way reflect the whole Morocco feel, the way the colours come together?
You get a lot of texture with oil painting, and you can produce any kind of colours you want, but I tend to work in layers, so you get more texture, quite rich colours, and then the Moroccan atmosphere is kind of very strong colours, very bright. So I think the oil paint does go with them.
It works well.
Yeah.
Now, I missed the private view because my tickets to it didn't arrive until Monday.
Oh, sorry.
Which is a bit disappointing because I had also neglected to remember it was going on, and the postcards arriving would have reminded me. But I've actually seen some of your work at a show that you put on in Birmingham at the Botanical Gardens, and it was nice to see people's reaction to it.
Yeah.
Are you staying around the venue to actually look what people think of your work?
I don't have to be there every day because the art gallery do their own security.
Mm-hmm.
But I shall go probably once a week, and if anyone especially wanted me to go, they could arrange to meet me there. But I was there all day Saturday, and a lot of the public go straight in there because it's a very popular gallery. There's big variety of things to see.
Well, there's always something changing as well in that little bit at the front. It is what they've rearranged everything recently, haven't they?
Yeah.
And it was if people have been to the art gallery in Wolverhampton before, it's the bit that was the shop.
Yes.
It is now a really nice L-shaped display space.
Yeah. Yes, it's a nice space. It's not huge, but the light is beautiful, and it's just near the entrance, so everyone can, you know, spot it.
If you don't catch it on the way in, you get it on the way out, don't you?
Or you could just nip in for that one.
Yeah, that's
have
right.
Have a look around that. Are they for sale at all?
They are for sale, yeah.
And how does that work then? So there's a price list up there, but how does it actually work with that one then? Does it end up in a bit of a bidding war as well?
If someone, well, the prices are there mm-hmm. on little catalogue, and if anyone wanted to buy a painting, they could just go to the shop and tell them.
But they can't take them away until the end of the exhibition.
No.
Which is coming up on the 6th of February, yes. so quite a while left yet for people to be able to go and see what's on display.
Yeah, it's a whole month. So,
it's really exciting, isn't it, to think that your work is going to be seen by so many people?
Yes, it's lovely. Yeah. So I haven't had an exhibition in Wolverhampton before.
No. Is it something that anybody who is like a local artist, I mean, I don't really know much about how you'd get your art into the art gallery, is it something that if you're a local artist and you have got quite a collection, you could request? Or?
Well, it's a higher space, and they allow you to sort of compete for the space, really, and every 6 months there's four dates mm-hmm. available, and they just, it's all arranged on one day, so it's a little bit of luck, really, whether you get it or not.
Do you have to, like, send lucky. A sample picture that they have?
Not really, no, it's all done on the telephone.
Oh, right.
But, so that allows a big variety of work to end up in that space.
Mm.
And, you know, a lot of young people, you know, student-type work, can afford to go in there because they don't charge a lot. And it's not too big to be scary,
mm-hmm.
but it's a really nice place to be.
And how do you feel it's going to progress where you're at? It's a chance to sell, a chance to be seen in Wolverhampton, a place you've not seen before. Do you think that's going to make a difference to you in your work as well, and the sort of people who are going to see it and maybe who commission from you in future?
Yes. I go into Wolverhampton more now than I used to. I'm also doing a writing course in Wolverhampton. But there's another course which I'm going to start in February, which is Enter Arts. And it's a course for artists to develop their sort of professionalism, really. So I'm going to start doing that in February. So there seems to be an awful lot going on in Wolverhampton for writers and painters.
That's good.
And at the theatre. You know, it's quite a vibrant place.
A very artistic city.
Yes, seems to be, yeah.
That's the way we like to think of it. Well, it's a great month of viewing down there at Wolverhampton Art Gallery, of course, on Litchfield Street in Wolverhampton. Do you know how far your furthest visitors are likely to come from? Is it being plugged around the area or further afield?
Well, I've advertised it sort of around Birmingham and Walsall and Wolverhampton, but the exhibition's in a magazine, the Art of England magazine, which is a national magazine, so that goes all over the country.
Mm.
Airports and all sorts of places, hotels, and so it has actually been advertised nationally in the Art of England magazine.
Well, we've just gone global as well with the podcast, is the way I like to think of it. So anywhere, we have listeners in Canada and America, so they could be flocking in to see you.
Yeah, so I had a cousin came to the house at Christmas before I put the paintings up, and mm-hmm. there was one he wanted, so I said, well, if I sell it to you, then I can say, you know, I've got work in Australia now as well.
As far as you could possibly go.
See if it happens.
Well, you never know, that NASA will be having to paint and stuff to go on spaceships before, you know, to keep it up with this, right? But there we are. Bridget, good luck with the rest of your exhibition.
You.
It should be really great for people who do want to come along, and because they can purchase. What sort of price range are we looking at here?
From about £50 to £800.
So it's accessible art as well.
Mm, as I say, the £50 would probably be accessible for myself. I'd love to have an original, to be fair.
They are all original.
Yeah, nice oil painting. That.
And I don't repeat anything. I just...
You do sometimes see that with people, don't you? They've got about 19 pictures of the same fish swimming about.
Yeah.
I wish I could, because sometimes people ask me to, but I can't. So they're all completely different, really.
It's not the way you work.
No.
but I'm sure it does work nonetheless. And I will try and get down there and have a little sneak peek at the art gallery.
You're very welcome.
Before the 6th of February.
Yes, it's open every day except Sunday, and of course it's free to go in.
Brilliant.
So, everyone's welcome.
Bridget, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And we wish you continued success.
Thank you very much.
Cheers.
Bye.
Bye.
So we've got a picture here and it looks like a lovely art exhibition, doesn't it, Jason?
She's a really good artist, and I've been down and seen her work when we've been, she was at... over in Brum at the Botanical Gardens, and it's a nice exhibition. They've got a great display space down there. If ever you see anything advertised for that one, it's worth nipping along to see.
Well, I think we're going from one type of artist to another now, Jason, aren't we?
Well, yeah.
He's
not a drinker, he's a musician. That's the good bit. Ash Bradley, hello. So you just got that one, didn't you? Took you a while, but you got there in the end.
I was silently laughing before that.
Yeah, okay. Ashley!
Hello.
How you doing, mate? You all right?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Good stuff. Ashley Bradley, the band Black Can, from Wolverhampton. Tell us a bit more about yourselves.
Yeah, well, three lads from Wolverhampton, basically, and just got some decent music.
get together. Well, it's quite simple, isn't it?
how long you been going together now, then?
As Black Can, we've been going about a year. Mm-hmm. We was all in a band called The Quarry before, and we sort of, the drummer left, and we've created this new... unit.
Without a drummer, though?
I was going to say, without the drums in the
songs. Yeah, we've got no drums. We're more electronic now.
All right, that's an interesting way of approaching music these days, because it tends to be, if you're not indie rock, you're not going to get signed.
Yeah, basically, but we've always been into like indie and rock music, but we love our dance music as well, so we just sort of formed the two together.
So there's three of you in the band?
Yeah.
I know you've got a guitarist, because we were hoping you might be able to get him to drive you into the Milk Bar today, but sadly not. What else? What's the rest of the line then? Is it what keys? Yourself doing what?
Yeah, we've got a keyboard player. He does a lot of programming as well, does a lot of the beats. And there's me. I'll do a bit of singing.
Just a bit of singing.
You make it just sound so easy, yet people, well, I'm sure yourself included, like, work so hard to produce the final sound.
Yeah, we do. We practice about 3-4 times a week.
Yeah.
Yeah, trying to get it right, really.
Get it honed and get it out there, that's the other bit. Because you actually recorded in Wolverhampton as well, aren't you? You've been recording at the Zip Rough School recently.
Yeah, we've done some recording there, and we've also... three tracks that you've been listening to tonight. We've done them with Gavin Monaghan in Wolverhampton, the Magic Garden Studios.
And there's been a lot of big acts that have worked with Gavin over the years, so...
like Editors, Twang, he's worked with loads of people.
Mm-hmm. So where does the music grow from then? Because if it's an electronic sound, is it quite as organic as some of the indie rock you get that's just guitar and drum bass?
I can just come up with a... like a lyric, and we can work off the bat of that. Or the guitarist got a riff, and we just work it round there.
So it is amazing what you can do, because my son's on a music technology course, and he's been shown the software, and you can choose any sort of instrument you want and program it in on the keyboard, and it just sounds amazing. It sounds really good.
Yeah, I mean, we use a lot of keyboard sounds, like we've got our own little studio itself. We can just mess around with different sounds there. It's great what you can come up with.
Yeah.
So you get to be creative, make some music, and hopefully people can dance to it as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I suppose it's pretty much about time we had a listen to it, but before we do, give us all the details on how people can find out about the band, MySpace, Facebook, or Twitter. It's all out there, isn't it?
Yeah, if you want to look us up on Twitter, just type in Black Can and it'll come up.
No, how's that spelled? Because that is the difficult bit.
It's B-L-A-K, no C.
Yep.
And then Can. So, Black Can, no C, in black.
And so that's as simple as that. Search that in Twitter, and on MySpace and Facebook MySpace as well?
Yeah, MySpace is just MySpace/BlackCan.com. And we should come off one of the first things.
Okay, so you can be tracked down that way. Google you as well. And gigs on the way in the near future?
Yeah, we're playing West Brom in February. I've been playing the Slade Room, the new little Civic in Wolverhampton, in April 3rd, I think.
So yep. All the details will be on your website as well, but plenty of gigs on the way. Keep an eye out for them. They are Black Can, and they're well worth a listen.
Yep.
Okay, let's do so now. What's the first track we're going to take?
This is called The Same.
Thank you very much. Ashley, I'll speak to you soon, mate.
Bye-bye. Cheers, mate.
Bye for now. You listen to the Milk Bar. That is Black Can, B-L-A-K. If you're looking for them on, if you're Googling them, if we're MySpacing them,
and
what
Twitter.
Is it? And Twitter, yes. And Facebook as well.
Yes.
You can find them pretty much anywhere. But he says he can sing, sings a bit. He certainly seems to be able to sing all right.
Sounds very nice, doesn't
and
it?
And I hadn't realised it was actually an electronic drum listening to it when I listened to it before we said they could come on.
Didn't you?
No, I should have realised really if I'd paid more attention.
It does sound very... studio made.
It does, but it is a good sound. You were comparing them to the Pet Shop Boys a moment ago.
They do sound
ago.
a bit Pet Shop Boys, and the singer as well. That whole era, but all the 80s stuff's coming back, isn't it now?
Yeah, well, so. The Pet Shop Boys never went away, did they?
No.
Oh, yeah. Now, this is where it gets confusing, isn't it?
Just a bit, Jason.
Right, you're Sally Turner, I'm Jason Forrest, and on the phone we also have Jason Forrest. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm all right, how are you, mate? You okay?
Not bad, thanks, not bad at all.
Now,
very bizarre that we both said the surname. Well, there are
if you check yournotme.co.uk or whatever it is, or yournotme.com, there are apparently 7 Jason Forrests in the country.
No.
And,
in Great Britain?
In Great Britain.
There's no more than that.
There's only 7.
I thought there would have been more than 7.
No, we're not popular.
I've actually found somebody else in Virginia, actually, that's also Jason Forrest.
A Jason Forrest in Manchester as well, who is also one of my Facebook friends. But you're a Facebook friend purely because you have the same surname. That's the only reason for it. It was vanity that caused me to search for you.
What would be really good to look at is what sort of business all the Jason Forrests are in, whether they're all in a similar line.
Well, there's one in America who's a DJ, a record-producing DJ.
Hmm.
Now, I found this Mr. Forrest when I was looking at buying jasonforrest.com, because you own jasonforrest.co.uk, don't you?
Yep, correct.
And that's when I was checking it out, and that's when I found out who he was. And
ever since.
Well, it's the first time we've ever spoken, actually.
An online friendship it has been, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, so... you're actually working in the world of fashion, which is the reason why we're talking to you today, isn't it?
Yes, I've been working in fashion for the last, I think it's been like 15 years.
That's quite a frightening amount of time. Where are you from originally, then?
Originally from Birmingham.
So, only down the road. I'll just nip back to the Jason Forrest story.
Yeah.
There's actually one in Oldbury who got run over once and killed.
Oh, dear.
It's quite frightening. It caused absolute panic in my family when they read that one in the paper, I tell you. Would have probably scared you a lot as well. So, you're from Brum. And so what happened then with this interesting fashion? How did it all start out?
It all started from actually boring my parents and family with me sketching when I was small. And then I then went on to go and do a BTEC course, a BTEC dressmaking course. And then from there, I then went on to university to go and complete a national diploma up to a BA in fashion and surface textiles, and which then led me to work at Harvey Nichols doing windows, and then for Burberry doing visual merchandising for the UK and Europe.
Because you actually also look after the Burberry concessions in Harvey Nichols still as well, don't you, I think?
Yes, I do, actually. I've been doing that it's been 4.5 years. So I do the concessions within Harvey Nichols, the airport, and also travel over to different stores as well, Hamburg, Florence, etc., within the UK. So it keeps it busy, which is a good thing.
Sounds like it.
And that's something as well which is very important, even in this day and age of trying to cut back everywhere. The window displays is what sells a shop, isn't it?
Completely. And it's the vision that sort of, as consumers that we all have, really, that, we're obviously attracted by what's out in the windows. And, it's a huge point of sale. So it's a really strong, to have a visual merchandiser for any company, it's a very, strong position to hold, because you have to cater to so many different people as well at the same time. So it's great, it's fun. Most definitely. And I wouldn't be doing it. I wouldn't be doing this long if I didn't enjoy it, that's for sure. It's brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely brilliant.
So for you, though, you started off in fashion design. And there is still a design element now. But do you miss actually designing clothes and working with something that's already been produced? And in fact, in this case, obviously on a large scale, but very unique designs.
I do. I mean, I did miss part of my design course. I mean, the design process. But I've gone back into that and just started making my own bits of, like, customising T-shirts and actually making men's clothes as well.
So you now got that as a sideline as well as the actual day job?
Yeah, so I am definitely keeping myself busy in order to fulfil my passion, that's for sure. So, no, it's just continuous. I think it's just continuous, and if you have a passion for fashion, which I do, then it's just relentless that you'll just continue what you're doing, really.
Well, it's like you're not working, is it? It's like almost like a hobby, and if you enjoy it.
Completely.
Don't tell your boss that you ain't working.
I wouldn't go that far.
No, but to get paid for something you enjoy that much, it must be like a real pleasure.
Definitely, and it's great. And I mean, it's given me the opportunity to work on really great projects, travel the world, and also for me to meet some really interesting characters in order for me to do my own projects. And I'm currently now freelance, and I've just executed a couple of projects within Birmingham themselves, and also around the world. So it's all working really well, touch wood. Mm-hmm. It's all going well.
So how does it work with the window design then? Do they say to you, right, this is the space you've got, this is what we want to promote, go away and find a way of really showing it off?
Well, yes, very much so. It can be, or it's very much a case of literally just having an area. I mean, it is the biggest point of sale, really. So it's, you know, you have to think of, it's almost like a journey of how this journey would be, and being a bit of a problem solver as well at the same time, to take the synopsis of the window, and then from the window you would then take it in store. So it's a thought processed journey.
But you have to follow a theme through. And
yeah, you have to follow it, take an initial starting point, mm-hmm. and then from there you would then, you know, bring that from the window to the in-store and around about the store in order to sort of synopse the whole appeal, really.
Now, there was a young lady who was on Desert Island Discs over on Radio 4 this week, not that we're plugging them in any way at all, but I believe she works for Harvey Nichols. And her name escapes me, but she's really famous.
Is that Harvey Nichols Birmingham or Harvey Nichols London?
I think it's London.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But she's one of the big names in this sort of thing. And she was talking about how she'd got off and got some scrap cars and stuck them in a shop window and painted people's faces on them and things like that. What's the biggest scale project you've ever worked on along those sort of lines?
The biggest one is when I actually was working for Harvey Nichols Windows, and we had the big tubes that were coming in and out of the windows. One of the biggest projects that was ever executed for Harvey Nichols. It was brilliant. And you had sort of like these copper tubes that were coming in the window, and actually it was almost they were coming in and out of the window, and that sort of lasted, like, I think it was supposed to be, the installation was a day and a half, and we ended up having a whole week to do it. It was great. I mean, the visual effect of it was brilliant, but it was just it was the process of that, which was just a bit sort of like time consuming. Everyone was so tired, but I mean, the end result was just absolutely phenomenal. Mm-hmm. So brilliant.
It's important for these things to get talked about as well, isn't it?
No, of course, definitely. And it's all down to it. And that's the whole thing about VM as a job itself. It's all about communication and actually communicating with, you know, external people, and almost being a bit of a brand leader. You have to sort of have a really strong character in order to, you know, move on and get jobs executed really well to the highest stability, really, mm-hmm. for the general public.
So if people want to see any of your displays, where can they look out at the moment then? So you said you've been in Brum.
Yeah, I currently did a job for a store called Mr. Frederick's. And there's also on my webpage on Facebook, there's a JC Stylist, Fashion Stylist page, which shows all of my recent work, and at the fashion consultancy work that I do, which is in regards to styling, fashion, photography, along with brand consultancy, and also the development of new designers as well.
And they can contact you via that as well, can they?
They can contact me via, it's j_cforest@yahoo.com.
And there are two R's in Forest, as I know.
They sure
know,
are, definitely.
Everybody else has to realise as well.
He could give you some fashion tips, could he, Jason?
You're trying to say I need fashion tips? No, you're probably right, okay. I currently also need to lose 2 stone.
I think you've already tapped onto that, really, to be honest. I think it's all going back to the 80s, especially for spring, summer.
Yeah.
New confidence, most definitely. So it's all about going back to back to the cocktail 80s.
Bright colours.
Well, what I was wearing in the 80s certainly wouldn't fit me now, I know that much. It's school uniform mostly, but there we go.
That's brilliant.
There we are. Well, Jason, thank you for joining us.
It's a pleasure.
Give us the Facebook details again, if people do want to track you down.
It's j_cforest, mm-hmm. Forrest, fashion stylist.
Okay, so chuck that into the search bar on Facebook, and you can see the photos. And before
if anyone does like my work, they can actually contact me. Or if anyone that needs a brand consultant or visual merchandiser, they can contact me on j_cforest@yahoo.com.
Okay, as simple as that. And they could be booking you to come and sort out their shop window.
Brilliant.
I know
Ooh,
some,
actually,
I know.
Are they?
This is a mistake. Somebody over here is opening the computer shop fairly soon.
Yes, right. Okay. I mean, does it matter what the shop is, or do you just deal with fashion?
No, not at all.
You cannot.
So I'm just thinking. You see, if you work in that sort of way, you could do it with anything, couldn't you? Yeah.
That's my email address. So if you're very interested, then do give me a call. It's not just regards to fashion. It's regards to quite a few things.
So, anywhere that needs an image impact, you'll be there.
Yeah, completely, most definitely.
Jason,
and hopefully. Hear from me soon. There you go, Jason.
Thanks again for joining us. Been good to talk
to you.
Finally, I'll speak to another Jason Forrest. I like that idea.
Brilliant.
Take care.
Bye. Let's take some more music from our featured band today. Once again, they are Black Can. This one is Satellite here in the Milk Bar. They are Black Can. You're listening to The Milk Bar, your weekly podcast of arts, comedy, music, and what else have we got this week, Zoe?
Of everything. We've actually got theatre.
Theatre?
Yes, I have Rhys Page joining me. Or us, rather.
Yeah, it's not just you. We're a team here.
Yes, so we are here, yes.
Hello, Rhys.
Hello there. How are you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm all right. Thank you very much.
Now, you're part of Turnstile Theatre.
That's correct, yeah.
Based in the fair city of Wolverhampton.
Yeah, in the beautiful city of Wolverhampton, that's right.
It's a lovely place to be, and a great place for theatre, because we've got places like the Arena who let people who've got small productions come and show a play in a proper theatre where it can be seen by absolutely shed loads of people.
Yeah, that's right. That's actually where we're doing the show, you see. So that's why we've done it there.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier to get into than the Grand, to be honest.
Well, it's probably more accessible financially as well. But when you're something like an independent production and you need a theatre to really show off what you've got before you go onto a big tour, it's a really great place to play, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I mean, we know it because most of the cast have been in the university, and that's attached to the Arena. So we all know it through that, really. And when we were talking about doing our own show, it was the first choice, really. We didn't really think of anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. Now, your show shows?
No, there is only one,
plays.
But I'm sure there is.
Only the one show, that's
yeah,
right.
It appears on the 29th of January, a Friday night. It all gets going at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, that's
and
correct.
Just a fiver to get in, and the production is Three for a Girl. Now,
that's
this is
right,
something
yeah.
that you and a colleague have written, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Basically, what happened was, my friend from university, I went up to him, I got an idea for a plot idea. And
this wasn't a reflection on his life at all, was it?
No, not really. At least not that I know to.
Explain a little of the story for us then.
The story basically is, it's about two friends who knew each other from university, and they're still friends afterwards. And what happens is, the girl wants to have a child, and so through various reasons, she ends up asking her friend if he'll help her have a child.
Oh, we
won't
we won't go into details on how, but
yeah. a story comes along, basically. so they decide to have a child together through various reasons. But the show is mostly about them dealing with the added pressure that has put on their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And, so that's the basic premise, but then there's a lot of stuff that goes on within that that I don't really want to spoil for people.
No, but it'll be exciting. It is a comedy, and yeah. It's well worth getting along to from what you've been telling me and the way the press release reads. I'll believe anything, me. But how long did it take to get to this sort of point?
It depends, really, on the show. I mean, this one has taken about 12, 13 months,
mm-hmm.
something like that. We've been rehearsing for about 6, but it's taken that long to get it written, like from just the basic story phase through till now, where we're in like the final rehearsals now. So it depends. On some shows can take less than that, a lot less, but because we've all got other commitments, we've had to spread out the rehearsals, so it's taken a bit longer.
So how many of you are actually performing parts in this?
Performing in it, there's 5.
Does this mean that you've got multiple parts, or is it...
just five people.
It's just 5 characters.
Yeah.
There's like a couple of people outside of their relationship, but we didn't really want a massive cast where you get no sort of insight into the actual characters.
Plus, any cash you do get, you have to share more ways as well, which is... I'm just being tight again, aren't I? I'm forever
Jason.
Well, yeah, I mean, the hardest part generally of writing something is coming up with interesting characters.
Yeah.
If you have a really sort of large cast, then you don't really get that, I guess, that intimacy that you get with the cast and the characters.
So you get to the point where the audience know who they're dealing with. You've got it doesn't take you long to set them up because there are 5 of them. So people know the sort of characters that are there, and they can see the way in which their life develops through the course of the play.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, if you've got a cast of 20, then each person only gets a couple of minutes with each character, and so you don't really get to develop that character in that way.
You want them to be attached to the characters on stage, don't you?
Yeah. You don't really. This is a story that really depends on the characters. It depends on an emotional connection forming. Otherwise, it won't really work. And so we didn't want too many characters.
be interesting to see, actually. I mean, the ending's not on there, but it'd be interesting to see how it does end.
Whether he knows, because he wants it.
Well, I know, yes, and I presume he's not going to give it away, but no. are they going to, like, fall in love, or are they going to go their separate ways, or, you know what I mean? It's quite intriguing.
I don't want to spoil it.
No.
But it's a good one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if people want to know the ending, calm down, and, you know, it's quite a good ending. I mean, it's a comedy, but at the same time, it's not like we're not doing silly comedy. This isn't the Smurfs or anything, but you know what I mean. But we're just trying to develop like a serious sort of undercurrent to this comedy, really.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's Friday the 29th of January at 8 o'clock. Tickets priced at £5, and it's at the Arena Theatre on Wolferoona Street in Wolverhampton. If you're looking for your sat-nav, WV11SE, just for information purposes. To book tickets, you can call the box office 01902 321 321. That's Wolverhampton 321 321. Or you can book via their website as well, which is arenatheatre.info. And does this thing go on tour? Is the potential of you taking this one across the country?
Yeah, there is a potential of it going on tour. It really depends how well it does.
It's the sort of thing that might fit it well at Edinburgh as well, though, isn't it?
Well, yeah, that is an idea. I mean, if you want to get more information, then the best thing to do really is go on Facebook and search for the group Turnstile Theatre,
mm-hmm.
and then any information we get will be going on there. That's Turnstile with a Y, not an I, just so that people don't look for the wrong one.
So it's basically a turn of style theatre. So
yeah. Well, that was the idea, really. So we hope that comes across. But yeah, that's probably the best way to get information on there.
Okay, Turnstile Theatre on Facebook, or if you do just want to book tickets, it's the Arena Theatre and their website, arenatheatre.info, or 01902 321 321. Well, break any part of your anatomy which helps you have a successful evening on the 29th of January.
With what the story's about, that's quite a scary prospect.
It is, yes. That may not work that well. I'm sure there are tablets you can get to correct that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But really, wish you every success with that one. And does this mean that is there more productions in the pipeline as well?
Yeah, we have. We've got plans for other shows to come up after this one. But at the moment, we're focused on this one. But after that, yeah, probably we've got a few ideas.
I've got to get along to some more events down at the arena, because they actually do, not only is this one a £5, but they also do, if you buy tickets for more than one show, some of the higher priced ones, you can also get for £5 as well.
That's correct.
So you can buy, just for buying your tickets for £5 for this one means you can get another show for £5 if you book online and do it all that way. So I'll be signing up for more of them. So you never, I might see you there at that one then, Rhys.
I hope you can make
you
it.
You see him waving at the back.
Yeah.
Rhys, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me on this show.
It's been good to talk to you, and we look forward to one of your performances down at the arena, because it might not be this one. There could be other things you are going to be in with Turnstile
Theatre.
Next
12 to 24 months, you could be the star of the BBC scriptwriter.
I certainly hope so.
Yes.
That's what your bank manager's thinking as well. There we are. And your agent. Yeah. Rhys, thanks for joining us, and we look forward to a great show on the 29th of January down there at the arena.
Thank you.
I hope
you all make it.
Bye. Cheers. For now. Right, let's take our final tune from our band today. They are Black Can, and this is The Calls of the Stalls.
You're sitting on your bench in the market stalls. Got a brown paper bag in a blue bottle. How did it come to this? Stop kidding yourself, it'll be okay. The mirror's not your friend, you're fading away. Oh, do you know right from wrong? Blue bottles and black. Monday.
They are, Black Can. And you have been listening to them here on The Milk Bar. Jason and Zoe signing off after another week. I enjoyed today again.
Another week gone already.
A 31 episodes.
It's soon going to be Christmas again, isn't it?
Are you looking forward to the first anniversary? Is that the bit that's exciting you most?
Oh, yes. We'll have to work that out and we'll have to do something special.
It's not for another 21 weeks, so we've got plenty of time to plan. Even yes. You should be able to not only organise...
Remember.
Yeah, you'd organise people to come in and celebrate, but actually remember. It's another excuse to get Jean and Nina in as well, isn't it?
Oh, yeah,
which is what
be
I
nice.
Like the idea of. That's good.
Jean and Nina are both lovely, though, aren't they?
They are. Yeah. So much nicer than you. It's amazing.
We're all nice.
Yeah, you're a very nice person.
Yes.
Yes. Even in that scarf. Well, just intrigued on that scarf. It's huge. Did you knit that yourself?
No, it's shop bought. Mm-hmm. Look, see, there's the tag.
Wow, quality.
Yes. I like long scarves.
Mm-hmm. How far off to your shop opening, then?
Oh, gosh, just don't. It's like pulling teeth for the solicitors at the minute.
Yeah, trying to get it all sorted out.
Yes, we're eager to get in there ourselves, but we're hoping for the end of January.
So it's for the opening or for the actual signing up of the lease?
No, for the opening. We're hoping the lease is going to be finished by the end of this week, beginning of next.
Uh-huh.
But then we've just got to get everything in and till systems up and running. And
have you got a name for it as well?
Our shop?
Yeah.
Yes, it's Brood Stationery and Computer Supplies.
So it's going to be the Milk Bar Podcast, brought to you by Brood Stationery.
Oh, yes, we could do.
Do
you want us
to
sponsor you?
Yeah, give us money. That's the way we like it. And if not, you can just get Jason down to do your shop fitting and everything else. It should be.
Well, I was hoping to try and get some people down for an opening of some sort.
So you're going to, let's see, you're going to ask me, Nina, Jean, and now Jason
That'd
Forrest
be nice.
As well.
Oh, yes, we could have the two Jason Forrests there.
You can never have enough.
No. Well, he can design my shop window.
Yeah.
And Nina can just come and be nice.
Yeah.
Jean can do a bit of playing.
Yeah.
And you can say... Congratulations, it's open.
Can I cut the ribbon?
No, that would be Nina's
job. No, Nina's
got
to do that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I can provide muffins and champagne.
Wow. Why muffins?
I don't know.
Is that a traditional shop opening thing? All the ones you've ever been to?
Big basket full of muffins.
Right. Okay, that's going to be the draw.
No, I don't know. What do you recommend, Jason?
I'm not sure. Maybe if people want to email in, themilkbar@jasonforrest.com.
What should I have at my shop opening?
Yeah, what should Zoe have at the shop opening? And
other than muffins.
Yeah. Because I mean, you're a celebrity in your own right, aren't you, as well? So
they won't be coming to see me. They might come to see Nina.
Yes, that's much more likely.
Yes.
There we are.
Get the papers there, take some pictures.
You never know.
Hopefully.
You haven't asked her yet.
No, I know.
No, but there you go. Have to see what happens. Right, next week, another round of podcasting takes place.
Don't laugh. It's
no,
going to be good.
It is. There'll be music.
Fingers crossed.
I'm hoping there'll be gymnastics.
Yes, and I've got my sportsman, hopefully, as well.
So it's a bit of a sporty episode. Dave Hill should be joining us to tell us about the Jimmy Bullen...
He doesn't know it yet, so I hope he doesn't listen to this at the meantime. But,
well,
yeah.
I hope he does, and think, yes, I know I must be there. Get him in. Actually, drag him into the Milk Bar.
That could be quite funny.
Rather than shopping in Tesco's like last time we spoke to him.
I just hope he doesn't let slip any of my school secrets.
There's got to be something. You didn't do very well when you tried to get stuff about me.
No, I didn't.
There was no dirt to dish on me when you spoke to Rob, was there?
Have a story, didn't he? And we never got round to going through it.
It was a bit... No, we went through both of them. They were both a bit strange and things I had...
Oh, your letters from abroad, wasn't it?
Letters from a strange pen pal man in Scotland who got a...
some
sort of farm. Yes, very peculiar. But
why not quite as strange as that, I don't think.
No, but we'll get from Dave any good gossip we can next week. All that, plus some other guests as well here... On the Milk Bar. Catch you then. Ta-ra for now.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye from the Milk Bar. 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 Yeah. Goodbye from the Milk Bar. Yeah.